RKO Radio Pictures present Dick Powell with Walter Slezak in Cornered. Tomorrow at the Hollywood and Downtown Paramount Theaters, RKO Radio Pictures present the opening of Dick Powell's newest mystery hit, Cornered, with Walter Slezak heading the supporting cast. In Cornered, Dick Powell has another rough, tough role, like the one which brought him fame in Murder, My Sweet. Cornered is a top-notch drama of suspense that will hold you spellbound from the first scene to the smashing climax. So make a date now to see Cornered with Dick Powell at either the Paramount Hollywood or Downtown Theaters. And now, RKO Pictures present Dick Powell with Walter Slezak in highlights from Cornered. In tonight's broadcast, you will have the opportunity to participate as amateur detectives and may win a $100 U.S. savings bond, a $50 bond, a $25 bond, or one of 25 other prizes. Details of the contest later in the program. But here's a tip. Follow the broadcast closely. You will hear the story of Cornered up to the dramatic climax, but the solution of the mystery will not be revealed. Instead, you may write your own solution and may win a bond. At the end of the program, you will be asked three questions, so have paper and pencil ready to take down the questions. Now get set to try for that U.S. savings bond as you listen to Dick Powell in highlights from Cornered.
Below in the sunlight, Buenos Aires was dazzling white. But my thoughts whirled in the dark fog. Against the mist, I saw faces. Celeste's face, as we were married in the little church. The face of her father as 2 years later he showed me her grave. And a formless blob that was the unknown face of Marcel Jarnac who caused her death. Marcel Jarnac, collaborationist, whose face I had never seen. Marcel Jarnac, murderer. My fingers touched my coat pocket, fumbled papers there. The scorched papers from the ruins of the house where Jarnac's lieutenant had died. Just the title page of his private dossier on Jarnac. Useless, unless I could use it as a bluff. And the other papers, the envelope bearing the return address of Bernard and Company Insurance. The envelope I had addressed to Madame Jarnac in Bern, then stolen from the mailbox after her maid had readdressed it. The envelope which now bore the forwarding address, Car of Gutulio Camargo, 64 Avenida Royal, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Would that be useless, too? Was I crazy to think I'd find Jarnac's wife here? And if I found her, would she lead me to Jarnac? Or was he really dead? As the carefully prepared records I'd seen in France sought to prove, I sat back in my seat, fastened my safety belt as the plane swept in for a landing.
Bring your handbaggage to the customs depot.
Ricciardo. Hans Tugel.
Morino.
Salaccio.
Gerard. I got in through the customs, stepped out into the sun. A tired white elephant with a wrinkled tropical suit for a hide and a floppy Panama hat instead of ears got my way. I blinked my eyes. The elephant said,
"Welcome to Buenos Aires, senor."
"Thanks."
"I was beginning to fear I had missed you, not knowing the exact time of your arrival. My card, senor. I'm Melchio Inza, confidential guide. The airplane people make it difficult for me to meet my clients. But once I have my eye on a man, I'm indefatigable, even talented."
"You're wasting your talents. I'm not a tourist."
"And I'm not a tourist guide in the strictest sense. You will find me quite helpful in whatever manner you choose to relax from the rigors of electrical engineering. I have excellent contacts."
"Who am I supposed to be?"
"Ah, I am the soul of discretion. Trust me to protect the name of Stephen Gerard."
"Well, that's fine, but my name's not Stephen Gerard."
"Is it possible I have made a great mistake?"
"It's possible." I eased around the elephant, got a cab. I looked back. He was rolling a cigar in his mouth and staring after me with a mournful look in his baggy eyes. At the hotel, before I even had time to brush my teeth, there was a knock at the door. Alinza, what took you so long?
Mr. Lawrence Gerard, I felt impelled to apologize for my gaucherie at the airport. Just put the liquor there, waiter. You may go.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Now, Mr. Gerard, a drink, perhaps. I wish to make amends by introducing you to one aspect of South American culture you might otherwise be denied. There are still one or two good things in this salted world, if one knows where to look. I'm afraid, however, that the quality of the liquor is holding up better than the quality of the women. You're an American?
No. Good.
I find Americans a little abrupt in their approach to both subjects. What business did you say you were in, Mr. Gerard?
I believe you said engineering.
In any event, I would like to be of what help to you I can. I had in mind a party that should appeal to a man of your blood.
No, thanks.
And the hostess, an unusual woman. Ah, yes. Senora Camargo is...
What did you say?
I said Senora Camargo. There is a woman. A woman in the grand tradition. You're sure you won't reconsider?
I'll think it over. Senora Camargo was unusual. She had the fragile look of an angel, but if she ever had a halo, she'd mislaid it somewhere. Under sleek black hair, her eyes smoldered like smoky fire kindled by Satan himself for a man to scorch in. And her full red lips said something she didn't put into words. She took me around to meet the others.
Mr. Gerard, my husband, Gutilio.
Gutilio Camargo, with the look of a hyena disturbed while devouring a choice morsel on the desert.
Mr. Perchon, a banker from Belgium.
Perchon, eyes like daggers sheathed by heavy brows.
Senor Santana, my husband's uncle, a celebrated lawyer.
Smooth as good brandy and packing the same wallop.
Madame Jarnac.
Madame Jarnac was pretty in a regal sort of way. But something was hiding in her eyes like a timid ghost in the shadows. She looked at me for a moment, murmured something polite, and moved away. Perchon claimed my hostess for a dance, so I followed Madame Jarnac. There were real shadows in the patio. And from behind some shrubbery, I heard voices.
Inza, you fool! You fat fool! Bring him here, you fool!
Senor Camargo, I am instructed to watch a man. What more pleasant way to watch him than at a party?
But I told you!
That is the constant difficulty. You fail to tell me enough. Perhaps if I knew why I was watching him, I would know why his presence here is inadvisable. Perhaps if I knew who he's searching for here and what he means when he says he has proof the man is alive.
Shh. They must have heard me. I moved on. Madame Jarnac was on a little balcony standing by the rail. I offered her a cigarette.
No, thank you.
You were expecting someone?
Yes.
Madame Jarnac, I'm in Argentina representing Bernard and Company. I would like to talk to you about your husband's estate.
Monsieur Gerard, if you don't mind, this is scarcely the place to talk business.
There seems to be a lot of it going on here.
Madame Jarnac.
Monsieur Gerard, I presume you know Monsieur Dubois. No? I'm surprised. Monsieur Dubois is also in the insurance business. He arranged my husband's estate. He is representative here of Bernard and Company.
I found my hostess, said goodnight. But when Madame Jarnac came to her apartment, I was waiting for her.
Huh?
Your maid let me in, but she got sleepy. I promised to wait up for you.
What do you want?
Your husband, Marcel Jarnac.
I'm afraid you're confused. My husband is dead, Monsieur Gerard.
Okay, where is he now?
Don't you think perhaps you've had a little too much to drink?
A little? What are you doing here?
Here?
Here, Buenos Aires.
I like it here. I have a great many friends.
How did you and your friends know I was coming?
Monsieur Gerard, I know nothing at all about you, except that you are drunk and mistaken. For whatever reason, you followed me here...
To find your husband. He killed my wife.
For whatever reason, you're wasting your time. Monsieur Jarnac is dead.
Monsieur Jarnac is dead. Leaving a sad and lovely widow to make it stick. Leaving a whole army of lovely people to make it stick. Only it won't stick. The army's too big and too interested in me. Why was I steered to the party tonight? Probably to see how dangerous I was.
Well, I'm dangerous because I've got proof and I'm stubborn. From now on, you aren't going to like living here so much. You won't have so much fun. I'll be following you and your friends. And if you've got a conscience, it's guilty. And anybody with a guilty conscience will make a mistake sooner or later.
Good night,
Even if you haven't got a conscience, you'll make a mistake, and I'll be there when you make it. And then you and I will have a little talk with Zarnak, just to make sure he's really dead. So I followed her and her friends. One day, I was sitting on the terrace outside a restaurant where Madame Jarnac and Signor Camargo were having lunch. A man came up.
May I join you? I've been looking forward to a talk with you alone since our meeting at the Camargo's. You remember me, Signor?
Emmanuel Santayana, distinguished lawyer, distinguished family, including a nephew named Getulio Camargo, who is hiding a murderer behind a lot of champagne.
I feel we should understand each other. Consider that I may not be what I seem to you.
I did that, and I considered, and you came out to be the worst kind of fascist. Respected by your country, lots of front, lots of polish. To make your nephew look good. Standing around with a lily in your hand while he saws the lady in half. He puts a killer in his hat, and you go to all the parties to amuse the intellectuals.
Certainly not to amuse myself. What is your precise objective here, Senor?
You think I'm a fool?
I am rapidly coming to that conclusion. You are making a mistake, Senor. If you continue to follow Madame Jarnac now, the consequences may be very serious.
That's what I had in mind.
Senor, I must warn you. I must command you. Do not follow Madame Jarnac.
I'll tell you what. I've thought it over and decided not to pay any attention to you. So I followed Madame Jarnac some more. Someone else was following her, too. She thought it was I, started to speak to her, then ran away. Later, I caught up with her. You wanted to talk to me on the street a while ago, only I turned out to be somebody else. I thought I'd make it easier for you. What's on your mind?
I cannot talk here. You've made them suspicious of me. I'm watched constantly. You saw the man on the street tonight. Go to your hotel. I'll get in touch with you there. I've got to be careful.
I'd rather have it quick than careful. Where's Jarnac?
Go to your hotel. I'll contact you about 10. I'll try to find out something for you by then.
I was delayed on the way. A barroom accosted me. When the argument was settled, I went home. There was a man in my room.
Who are you? My name is Diego, Senor. I'm the valet. I'm new today.
Oh? Well, the clerk said there was a message here.
Oh, sorry, Senor. I forgot. Here it is.
This has been opened.
I believe you're right, Senor. Perhaps the lady had an afterthought. May I take the liberty of suggesting caution, Senor?
What do you mean?
You're a stranger. This is a large city. Any large city has women who take advantage of strangers.
Who are you, and what are you up to?
My name is Diego, Senor. I'm a valet.
The note was from Madame Jarnac. She wrote...
Jarnac leaves at midnight for Mexico. The address is number 24, Rio Fonda Court. He is using the name Dubois.
Dubois, the insurance agent. Why not? Jarnac settling his own estate. Jarnac. At last, I had him cornered.
RKO Radio Pictures are bringing you Dick Powell and Walter Slezak in their original roles of Lawrence Gerard and Melchior Inza in highlights from their latest RKO picture, Cornered, which opens tomorrow at the Paramount Hollywood and Downtown Theaters in Los Angeles. So make a date now to see this thrilling mystery drama, Cornered, tomorrow. And stay tuned to this program. You may win a $100 United States savings bond, a $50 bond, a $25 bond, or one of the 25 other prizes. Now, back to Dick Powell as Lawrence Gerard in Cornered.
Yes, at last I had him cornered. Marcel Jarnac, the man who ordered my wife shot. I looked at Madame Jarnac's note under the street lamp. 24, Rio Fondo Court. This was the street. Moonlight shining through the trees made designs on the sidewalk, shaded the buildings. I spotted the number, went up the steps, struck a match. Ernest Dubois, apartment 1. That would be the ground floor. Light slanted through Venetian blinds. I eased off the walk. Grass was soft underfoot. And through the slats, I saw a lighted room, an open suitcase on the bed. Dubois coming from another room with shirts in his hand. My fingers clumsy as I clawed for my gun. My hands shook as I drew a bead on him. Must steady it. Can't afford to miss. Then he moved out of sight. The blinds covered French windows. I climbed up to the terrace. Dubois came back into the room. I kicked the window open, stepped inside as he reached for a phone. There's no one on the other end of the line, Monsieur Jarnac.
Monsieur Jarnac?
You've heard of him.
Yes, yes, of course. I have heard of Marcel Jarnac.
But you're somebody else.
I assure you I am.
Good. You assure me. You're not Marcel Jarnac. You're now Ernest Dubois. You sell insurance. I'm going to kill an innocent insurance salesman. If I kill enough innocent insurance salesmen, I'll eventually kill Marcel Jarnac. I'm sorry to cut short your trip, Ernest. I was floating in the outer darkness of the universe beyond the stratosphere. And the world was a flaming meteor rushing straight at my aching head. It crashed with a burst of flame. When I opened my eyes, I was looking into a dark face close to mine. I'd seen that face before. It was the valet, Diego.
You should not drink quite so much, senor. It was necessary to assist you forcibly.
Help Mr. Gerard to sit up, Diego.
Well, Senor Santiana, the birds begin to come out of the bushes. Thanks for the valet. How did you get him into the hotel?
We have friends in the hotel business.
Okay, well. It looks like your move. Let's have it.
This is my house. We brought you here. You are my guest. It is late. I suggest we talk in the morning.
I don't like talk. I'm in a hurry. And I can't be bought off or scared out of the country. You stopped me once. All right. There's only one way of stopping me for good, and you've got it right there in your hand. Go ahead, shoot, and get it over with.
You are a very reckless man, Mr. Gerard. You have made many mistakes since coming to Buenos Aires. Here is your gun. Please, put it away. Good. Now, the letter, please. Thank you. This is not Madame Jarnac's handwriting, of course?
Of course not.
You realize, Mr. Gerard, you were taking a tremendous chance.
Well, Dubois was packing a suitcase. Men who pack suitcases make me nervous.
The scheme tonight was evidently for you to eliminate Dubois, and as a murderer, to eliminate yourself. Oh, but then that is beside the point. We believe Jarnac is alive, and that he followed his wife here by way of Mexico. Dubois was going there tonight to check passports. We felt...
Wait a minute. What's this we? What's the organization?
There is no organization, Mr. Gerard. Today, there is only the right side and the wrong side.
All right, fine. We're on the right side, but I haven't heard anything yet. You're no farther along than I am. You don't even know which one of these monkeys is Jarnac.
We must ask your cooperation. It is extremely important that you do not see Madame Jarnac for the present.
Why?
We need her. We do not want her frightened away. If you choose to help us, we can both achieve our ends.
And if I don't choose?
That might be dangerous for you.
Thanks for nothing. I went back to my hotel, dug out Eanes' card, called him. While I waited for him, I took some nice clean sheets of paper and scorched them around the edges. I folded them with the title sheet of the dossier of Jarnac on top. It looked real. Real enough to fool Inza when I showed it to him. You see, Inza, Jarnac's assistant, kept a file on his boss with a good description of Jarnac. Before the assistant died, he tried to burn the file, but I brought most of it along, the important parts, to show Senor Camargo. He's mentioned in a couple of places. I thought you might like to talk to him before I make it public.
Oh, excellent, excellent. A very canny plot. Senor Camargo will never stand the strain of blackmail. We can force him to deliver Jarnac to you and, of course, to pay me well for my service.
This document is my life insurance. It's going into the hotel safe. And if anything happens to me, it'll be forwarded to the Canadian legation.
Camargo is shrewd, senor. He will ask if I have seen the document. I will have to say no, of course.
Of course. If you have any trouble, show him this. I peeled off the top of the page and gave it to him. Then I sealed the blank pages in the envelope and put it in the safe. Inza left and I sat down to wait. Finally, he came back. He told me Camargo had a suite in the hotel, wanted to see me at once. I went up to the Camargo suite. His wife let me in. She said her husband had been called out, asked me to have a drink while I waited. She called the bar, and after the waiter had come and gone, things began to get chummy.
You are an extraordinary man. Do you know why you interest me?
I've been wondering. What's supposed to happen while I'm spending the evening with you?
You might get to like me a little. Don't you think you're making yourself unnecessarily miserable by clinging to the memory of a girl you knew less than a month?
Somebody must be passing out copies of my biography.
Tell me, was she so much more attractive than I am?
Attractive? Well, her teeth were crooked. She was too thin. She was too thin because she was squeezed in between a couple of wars. I don't think she ever had the kind of food that goes into a good figure. I'm not sure. I can't even remember exactly what she looked like. The war does something to your memory. It gets sharper. You forget the way people look and remember the important things. That kind of remembering keeps you warm on cold nights.
Would you mind some advice? You are wasting your youth here.
How do you fit into all this? What's your function?
Shall I be honest?
Don't strain yourself.
I have no function except to enjoy myself. I like the life. I like the money and the food.
What do you use for morals?
I think they're a little overrated. Wouldn't you like to kiss me?
Where's your husband?
He won't be back. Don't go. I could make you forget. I could make you forget.
But not for long. And not enough. For that, you'd have to have a heart. Tell your husband I dropped around, but I couldn't wait. I got bored. While the senora and I were having our little chat, other things were happening. The hotel safe had been robbed. Somebody was looking for my envelope. My room was a busy place, too. There were a lot of people moving around. The clerk, the elevator boy, some police, and a detective. There was one man who wasn't moving. Diego, the valet. He was lying dead on the floor under a sheet. Somebody had put a couple of bullet holes in him. The detective asked me a lot of questions, mainly about where I'd been the last hour. I told him I'd had a drink with Senora Camargo. He sent for her. The elevator boy couldn't remember taking me up there, and they couldn't find the waiter that had brought up the drink. Finally, they brought the senora in. Her husband was with her.
Senora, what time did Mr. Gerard come to your apartment this evening?
I beg your pardon.
What time did he come to your apartment this evening?
I'm afraid you have been misinformed. I was alone all evening until I was asked to come here. I met my husband at the elevator.
Mr. Gerard was not in your apartment this evening?
I have told you I was alone.
All right, Inspector. I know when I've been fixed. Let's go. The Buenos Aires jail wasn't so bad as jails go, but I was lonesome. I missed the insects I'd met in the German prison camps. However, I wasn't in jail long. Satiana got me out. It seems they found the waiter who came to Camargo's apartment while I was there. Santayana convinced the inspector that Senora Camargo lied because her husband might be jealous. He convinced the inspector that I wasn't a murderer. But he didn't convince him that I was a desirable person to have around. The inspector said,
"We will release Lawrence Gerard, but his passport is not in order. We will advise the immigration authorities. The passport is not cleared up in 48 hours. I will recommend deportation."
"48 hours. Not much time for what I had to do. Not much time to find out the answers to all the questions that were buzzing in my head. Was Jarnak really alive? If so, who was he? Dubois, the insurance man? Pershon, the banker? Camargo himself? And what of Santayana? Had he got me out of jail just to get me deported, to get rid of me? 48 hours. I only had 48 hours to find the man who had killed my wife. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dick Powell. This is where you take over. As Lance Gerard, they had me in a spot. Yes, I was pretty well cornered. I had only a few hours to find the answers to a lot of questions. And to help you with the answers to yours, here's an old friend, Jim Doyle.
Good night, Dick. Ladies and gentlemen, plan now to see the opening of Cornered tomorrow at either the Hollywood or downtown Paramount theaters. And now get set to take down these questions. They may help you win a $100 victory bond, a $50 bond, a $25 bond, or a pass to see the picture Cornered. Anyone is eligible to compete except employees of RKO Radio Pictures or of the American Broadcasting Company. The winners will be announced next Friday afternoon on Francis Scully's stargazing program over KECA between 3:30 and 3:45, and the awards will be mailed to the winners. Here are the rules of the contest. Write down your solution to the mystery in 100 words or less. Mail your letter early. It must be postmarked before 10 o'clock tomorrow morning to qualify for the contest. Mail your letter to RKO Radio Pictures, care of radio station KECA, Los Angeles, 28, California. Be sure to write down the name and address you want on your bond if you should win. You do not have to have the correct solution to win. The prizes go to the person sending in the most original and logical analysis of the crime. Entries will be judged on the basis of their originality, appropriateness, and best stated and most convincing reasoning. The decision of the judges is final. In case of ties, duplicate awards will be made. All entries become the property of RKO Radio Pictures, and none can be returned. Now here's the inspector with the questions. Question number one.
Do you believe Jarnak is really alive? Why?
Question number two.
Who killed Diego, and why do you think so?
Question number three.
Is the lawyer Santayana an honest man or a criminal? Why do you believe as you do?
There you have your three questions. Number one, is Jarnak really alive? Number two, who killed Diego? Number three, is Santayana an honest man or a criminal? The answers to these questions will aid you in arriving at a solution to this mystery. Write your solution in 100 words or less and mail your letter to RKO Radio Pictures, care of station KECA, Los Angeles, 28, California. Remember, your letter must be postmarked before 10 a.m. tomorrow to qualify, for at that time the contest closes. And you must include the name and address you want on the bond in case you should win either the $100, the $50, or the $25 United States savings bond. There are 25 additional prizes of passes to Cornered at the Hollywood or downtown Paramount theaters. So get your letter off at once. RKO Radio Pictures have brought you highlights from Dick Powell's latest mystery hit, Cornered, with Dick Powell in his original role. See Dick Powell in Cornered at either the Hollywood or downtown Paramount theaters beginning tomorrow. Or if you live out of Los Angeles, watch for it at your nearby theater. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.